So this is the final day, final Dharma talk of this four-day retreat, the path to wholeness, of wholeness. The path to wholeness is the path of wholeness. It is important to remember that. As you've learned these 4 days, and it's not as if you begin with brokenness and you end up in wholeness. The practice is wholeness. As you practice wholeness in your daily life, you become more whole. You cannot practice brokenness thinking the result will be wholeness. Right? You cannot practice delusion thinking the result will be enlightenment. You cannot practice causes that create unhappiness and suffering and think you will end up with happiness and joy. It doesn't work this way. It is important that we understand. That's why we study cause and effect. Because it's very clear, if there is some change or transformation that I want to affect in my life or in my relationships, I have to create the causes to make those happen. Bad causes will not create good results. Negative causes will not create positive results. It doesn't work that way. We have learned in this retreat to take our stand on wholeness. To take our stand on non-self. To take our stand on presence. Openness, awareness, mindfulness. This is what we cultivate. If you cultivate these qualities of mind, you will have good results. That is the way. You have spent 4 days watching your mind, observing your mind. The mind that you have observed for the past 4 days, all its thoughts, all its feelings, or its mental formations, all its activities. Where do you think that came from? It hasn't just miraculously appeared. Nor was it made by someone else. The mind we have today is the mind that has been cultivated for as long as we have been alive. We are simply just seeing the results of it. If you are happy with the results, continue on. But if you are less than happy with the results, and there's only one way, and that is to create new causes so that the mind that you will be experiencing in the future will be different. That will not occur by reading, right? That will not occur by coming to retreats, being in intensives. If all we do is the forms of these things, if all we do is we walk through these things, it is only when we practice them, with what? With our body, speech, and mind, that we are now making new imprints in our mind. Is that clear? you cannot stop past effects from ripening. They will arise. Right? The seeds have been planted already. But if you are aware, if you are mindful, if you have aspiration and intention to live a different way, when they arise in your mind in the present, you can handle them very differently. You can respond to them very differently. So you will no longer be potentizing them, intensifying them. If anything, you will be doing the opposite. Is that clear? That is the way of practice. It is the skillful, wise, mindful handling of seeds that are arising from the past, as well it is the nurturing of new seeds. And that's the practice. Now, mindfulness, concentration, insight, all these things we do are the tools we use. These are our gardener's tools. But they have to be used. Right? You know, if you go to visit somebody's house and they want to show you all their tools and they're all spanking clean, you know, they're quite nice. Some people really have the most expensive tools you can get. They're quite beautiful. But you want to see them a little messed up, like they've been used. So just to have the tools, but not to use them is a great waste, and you will get no benefit. Now, fortunately, this ego, this self, that seems to be the enemy for so many, there's good news. It does not exist in any solid, permanent way. It is a misperception. It is an identification. How does it function? It functions with the words in our mind of I, me, mine. Attaching that to our experience and believing that is really the real stance to take. How does it function? By making everything about me. How does it function? Through the world of picking and choosing, views, opinions, likes, dislikes. That is the self. It's just a grouping of misused ways of the mind, all tied together by this idea of self. That's all it is. And as you have been shown in the meditation, it can be seen through in a moment. The emperor has no clothes. The Wizard of Oz is just smoke and mirrors. But if you do not look, you will not see that. So that is why mindfulness, concentration, and deep looking, insight, is our path. And if you do that, you will liberate. You will become liberated. There's no doubt. Because you'll begin to see clearly and the fog will begin to lift. Does anybody doubt that or have any questions about that before we return to this wonderful poem? Again, whether this is your 50th retreat, your 15th retreat, or your first retreat, everyone equally in the past 4 days has received the same teachings, has been shown the same practice. The path is open to everyone here. From this day forward, it is up to you. That is the truth. You can have a teacher, you can have the Dharma, you can have the teachings, you can have a Sangha. In other words, all the conditions can be ripe. But it's up to you. Right? You can have every gardening book in the world and every gardening tool. But you got to get out there and garden if you want to garden. Can't be lazy. Can't be indifferent. Can't be distracted. Can't be busy with other things. Always too busy. What you're busy with tells you about what you value in life. That's the truth. We look at our life, we see what we do. This is what we value. If you look at your life and it is not congruent with your values, your intrinsic values, then you need to change what you're doing. Simple as that. Many people, Dharma, practice, spiritual aspiration, desire for enlightenment, is something they graft on to their old self. Right? Well, this is great. I can continue to do everything I'm doing, and I'll just add the path of enlightenment. Again, there may be nothing wrong with what you're doing and all the activities you do. It depends on what your aspiration in this life is. That's all. It's up to you. Everybody here has their own life. Everybody here has their own values. Everybody here has what they yearn and thirst for. And that process has to go on deep within your own heart, because at the end of the day, you are the captain of your ship. So many of us, we all come to Dharma. We all come to a spiritual path with a prior life or prior lives, right? Most of us have not been brought to the monastery at 4 years old. Well, we've come much later in life, and there's lots of lives that we have lived. And without knowing it, even though we are kind of open to and new values and new ideas are stirring within us, we have not allowed them, we have not given them a big enough place in our mind and in our life that they can really grow. We've only given them a little place. And again, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. You know, I mean, in these days, there are people who just want to practice mindfulness. Not interested in Dharma, not interested in spiritual path, a little mindfulness for stress, make their life better. That's fine. It's fine. But some want more. They don't just want to eat hors d'oeuvres. They want the full meal. We have to understand that the Buddhist path, as the Buddha taught it and all the masters have taught it, is a radically different path for life. It shows us how to be human, totally human. Not half human, not a quarter human, but how to really actualize all the potentials for goodness, which is the enlightened mind within us. That is a aspiration, that is a goal for human life, which is not attractive to most people, to be honest with you, is it? We know what most people are up to because many of us, that's what we used to be up to. So it's not a mystery. But we have to remember there was somebody 2,600 years ago who had all the advantages too. And yet somehow saw through that. Looked at life much more realistically. Saw the futility and the underlying unsatisfactoriness of ordinary worldly pursuits. They do not deliver. And when you yearn for true experience, for true happiness that is not dependent on circumstances, I hope nobody is unhappy because there's no blue sky and beautiful sun like it was yesterday and the day before. If you are disappointed, a little down, that is because you were dependent on external circumstances for your happiness. Sunny day, cloudy days, warm days, cold days, every day is a good day. So once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a man who lived in a grass hut. And let us, you know, let us not romanticize. As you can imagine, living in a grass hut could be quite a difficult, right? Could be quite difficult life. And yet, he lives there calmly. Not stuck inside, outside, or in between. After eating, he relaxes and takes a nap. In that grass hut, what could be more impermanent, right? Just struck me, we grew up with the three little pigs, right? That was the worst one, right? Who built the one out of grass? We were encouraged what? Brick, solid, safe. Here, this great master, he chooses to live in the grass hut. It's a different story, the three little pigs that we grew up with. Maybe we can rewrite it. Yeah. So in the most temporary, in the most impermanent, he takes his stand. And he says he would not trade it for palaces, vermilion towers, or a shining window below the great pines. Thus, this mountain monk doesn't understand at all. Living here, he no longer works to get free. Why does he no longer work to get free? Because he's living in freedom. He's living in freedom. He's living it. It's not something he's working to get. I'm here, bound. I'm working there to get free. I understand that in this moment, the essential freedom is right here for me. If I let go of all my ideas, all my opinions, all my shoulds and oughts and needs and wants, et cetera, and all the duality of me, you, if I just let go of that all, and I'm just open, present, aware, what do I need? What do I need? Nothing. Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. Okay? There's the instruction. So now the instruction. Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. Our light is always shining where? Out. Even in this meditation hall, there are people always just looking around. Somebody walks in, some little noise over there. We're always just looking out, generating an idea about whatever's going on. None of our business, but that just tells you we're just always looking out. What could I generate an opinion about? It must be something. Must be some comment I can make to myself about someone. And if I can't do that, I'll think about some opinions that I have about things from the past, or fantasize about opinions for the future. Maybe I'll express some opinions about politics or the unfolding of history. That will never liberate us. That is ensnarement. Turn around the light. This is the light of awareness, the light of mindfulness. And look the other way. Right? When you hear the voice in your head, who said that? Look. Whether it's the voice telling you you're wonderful, the voice telling you're terrible. Right? Whether it's the voice of the superiority complex, the equality complex, the inferiority complex, that's irrelevant. Who said that? Turn the light the other way. Right. I feel big self. I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm scared. Big self, big me is out. Rather than following its drama, I turn. Where is that I? Where is that self that is anxious or scared or angry or hurt or disappointed or wants this or needs that? Right? What is the source of that? We're never going to see the source looking that way. Never. The source is back here. The source is in our own mind. That's what's generating all our... we even talk about projections, right? Oh, that's, Oh, that's just a projection. Well, what does that get you? Where's the projector? That's the more interesting question, right? I mean, unless you always want to be the rest of your life dealing with your projections, even though you have psychological insight. Oh, that's just, I'm just projecting. Right? That's a coping mechanism. That's not a liberating mechanism. Liberating mechanism is, where's that damn projector? And who's running it? Right? Now I get to the source of it. Is that clear? Turn the light within. People go, well, what does that mean? It means into your mind. What does that mean? That's what we've been doing. You look into your mind, aware thoughts, feelings, perceptions, where you feel there's a self, where, right, you're walking. You say what? I am walking. Is there a walker? Or is there just walking? Well, there feels like there's a me who's walking. Good. Where does that self dwell? Well, in my mind. Okay, look for it. Turn within. You're hearing, you're smelling, you're sounding, you're having a feeling, whatever it is. There's always an I attached to it, a me attached to it. Look for it. Turn around. But we are endlessly following our thoughts, our projections, our stories. We're endlessly following our eyes, our ears. We're like, that's why it's called monkey mind. It's just bump, 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 bump. Looking around here, looking out that window, looking out the window of the eyes, looking out the window of the ears, looking out the window of the nose, just endlessly looking. Tastes, right? Give me some food, give me some tastes, I'm off to the races. All kinds of thoughts, all kinds of likes, dislikes, projections, ideas, right? I mean, we can't even eat a meal without, you know. Look, turn within. So simple. It's not complicated, is it? So simple. Turn around the light, shine within, and then return. Return home. When you look for the self, when you look at a thought, when you look for the source of thoughts, when you look at anything, you will see essentially there's no thing there. And people say, well, there's nothing there. Just relax. Enter your true home and relax there. Then stay home. Don't keep going out. Many people go out because they don't like their home. Home is not a comfortable, safe, enjoyable place. So they're always going out. They're always running around the world. Last thing they want to do is what? Stay home. Because home is not comfortable. Many people, their minds are not comfortable. Right? Most people, you talk this kind of talk, and the first thing they say, well, that's boring. God, I can't think of anything more boring. Right, Alex? You tell people where you're going, what you're doing. Boring. Right? And that tells you, you know, to come home to themselves is flat. And for many, it's not even flat. It has feelings and emotions and thoughts that they don't want to feel or look at. So they keep moving. Shine the light within. Come home. When your home is safe, when your home is comfortable, when your home is wide and spacious, when your home is happy, you won't want to leave it. Right? Why trade in this for that? Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. Is that clear? So it's not just, oh, yeah, I looked, okay. Now back out again. That's the way most people practice. Oh, yeah, no self. Okay. Yeah, nothing there. Oh. Good. Now what mischief can I get up to? This is important. Turn the light within and return. Stay home. Relax. The vast inconceivable source cannot be faced or turned away from. When you look for it, it's not there. And yet it is always here. Meet the ancestral teachers. So this is important. He's giving us again, this is why this poem's it's very simple, but it's all there. It's all here. Meet the ancestral teachers can have many meanings, but let's take it here to mean, you know, become familiar with the teachings and the teachers. Become familiar with your ancestral lineage, their lives. Know them as human beings. Know their teachings. Know their practice. Meet them. To meet somebody is to what? Become familiar with. To know. Be familiar with their instructions. Find grasses to build a hut and don't give up. Each of us have to build our own meditation hut. That's what he's saying. You have to build your meditation hut. you have to create within you that place in which you practice deeply the instructions of the ancestral teachers as exists. You can't do it on the run. You know, many of us want to do Dharma on the run, right? 10 minutes here, fit in 15 minutes there. If I'm lucky, I get in a good 30 minutes. We're practicing Dharma on the run. This cannot be done on the run, you know. I understand we can drive and have a phone conversation at the same time. Just parenthetically, I had to take a driver's ed course. That is very dangerous. Alex, you are more impaired than if you were drinking when you talk and drive.
I was texting.
Oh. Yeah, that's even worse, as you well know. But there are some things that you can do, right? You can multitask with. You cannot multitask Dharma. You can't do it. Because it is about healing and transformation. It's about developing a skill and a craft that takes time and patience and repetition and dedication. Again, I'm not saying everybody here has to become a monk or a nun. Please don't go to the other extreme. It really means in the same way as we go through our day and our activities. Do we practice throughout the day? Are we really taking care of our minds throughout the day? Are we really cultivating mindfulness, concentration, insight, openness, ease throughout the day? I mean, as a practice, we're very, you know, that's the hut. You know, if practice is just something you do for 20 minutes in the morning, you will only get the results of a practice of 20 minutes in the morning. And only you know what that'll give you. Again, I only say this because each of us need to know, what is my aspiration here? Again, if my aspiration is simply to slow down a little bit, calm down a little bit, to cope a little better, 20 minutes a day can be greatly beneficial. Is that clear? But if you're at this, if you're in this for more, and that doesn't cut it. Is that clear? It's just, I mean, it's not bad news. You see what I'm saying? If you want to run a marathon, jogging 20 minutes a day is not going to prepare you, is it? I mean, you know, and that's not like, you know, I'm not being a wet blanket. It's just the way it is. Right? So it depends on your aspiration. Again, and aspiration is not something fixed. Aspiration is something that that can change. It's also, circumstances too. The circumstances of some of our lives may be that there is just a lot of responsibilities and activities, that are in a certain way inflexible at this time in our life. But for many of us, that might neither be the case. And for some of us who think it's quite inflexible, there may be more flexibility there than we see. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction, bind grasses to build a hut, and don't give up. Some people shared that even on their way here, coming here, they already wanted to give up. Some people said they came here with good, then they ran into a difficult first or second day, and they wanted to give up. Right? Don't give up. Across the centuries, right? The man in the grass hut says to us, don't give up. Why does he say don't give up? Because he knows the fruit of practice is available to all of us. And the only reason you may get frustrated or despair is because of your thoughts. Right? One day you say, I can do this. The next day you say, you can't do it. Right? What's changed? Your thoughts. And when you look at a thought, what do you see? Nothing. And yet we give them validity. The aspiration of your heart, the yearning to know, the yearning to awake, the yearning to come home, is more than a thought. It comes from a deeper place. And everybody here has that place in them. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. But you have to stay in touch with it. You have to trust it. You have to have confidence in it. So when you meet your teachers, when you meet the ancestral teachers, when you encounter the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, you go, oh, yes. The yearnings of my heart are meeting its actualization. How wonderful. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction, bind grasses to build a hut, and don't give up. Let go of hundreds of years and completely relax. Please do that right now. Let go of hundreds of years means what? All your thoughts, all your memories, all your issues, all the stuff that we've accumulated from the past that we're carrying with us. Right? Let it all go. Let go of hundreds of years. I mean, what are you holding on to? Ghosts? Photographs? Snippets of conversation? Memories taken out of context, misperceptions, false views, and at the very least, things that have already passed. Everything in the past has passed. So why hold on to it? Why hold on to anything when you have this? This ease and freedom. But if you are burdened with your past, you will never experience ease and freedom. You will always be what? Heavy. Weighed down. Overly serious and intense. Nobody can see your burden while you're so serious and weighed down and intense. But it's real to you. Let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. How do you relax completely? I mean, that's, what does a complete relaxing mean? Well, first you relax, right? So everybody kind of relax. Now, you may feel relaxed, but you may really, on a scale of 1 to 10, you might just have gone from a 10 to a 9. So you go, well, I'm relaxed, but you're not completely relaxed. So you have to do it again, and again, and again, Until what?
Until there's a sense of just well-being and ease.
Then you might say what?
Oh yeah, I'm relaxed.
You don't need pharmaceuticals. Relax completely. Let go of hundreds of years. Relax completely. These are very direct instructions. Can you see that? It's not just a poem anymore. He's telling us how to do it. Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. The vast inconceivable source can't be faced or turned away from. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction. Find grasses to build a hut and don't give up. Let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. Please, when you meditate, make sure that you have let go. Right? If there's any stress, worries, planning, if anything's going on, let go of it before you begin to meditate. Okay. More instructions. Okay. Please understand, these are instructions. Open your hands and walk innocent. So now these are instructions about how to go about the world. Right? We don't just stay home and meditate on the source. When we meditate, we look deeply. Now post-meditation, right? I'm going about the world. Open your hands. Open hands means what? Open-handed means what? Nothing held back. Nothing, my hand's not in a fist. I'm not defensive. Right? If somebody feels threatened by you, you might just go, look, no, I don't have anything. I remember once I was in New York going for my car and there was some guy leaning against it and I started walking to my car. He pulls a knife on me. Right? Why? He thought I was coming to attack him. So the first thing I do, no, everything's all right. Relax. Right? Open-handed. Go into the world open-handed. Can you see what that's like? Open-handed. I'm not grabbing. I'm not taking. I'm not defensive. Open-handed. And walk. Innocent. Innocent means what? What does innocent mean? Trusting? You say, what? Beginner's mind, a child, innocent.
No agenda.
No agenda. In the Lojong trainings, the mind trainings, it is said in post-meditation, be like a child of, the description is, be like a child who's come to the temple. If you've ever been to a Tibetan temple, you know it's quite incredible. Everything is painted, everything is colors, Buddha, I mean paintings, dragons, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, I mean it's, be like a child. How does a child, just looks. Everything fresh, everything new, everything interesting. Be like a child. Enter the world that way. Eyes open, fresh. But you can't have that if you are carrying hundreds of years. What's it going to be? What's it going to be, Marilyn? Can't have both, can you? Chris, you can't have both. Let go of hundreds of years, relax completely, open your hands and walk innocent. These are instructions to us. Thousands of words, myriad interpretations are only to free you from obstructions. What's he talking about? The Dharma. Right? Thousands of words, myriad interpretations, have only one purpose: to free us from obstructions. Not to keep us stimulated. Right? The teachers teach. They take a lot of time to teach, to instruct. For what purpose? They're not highly paid in most cases. Only to free you from obstructions. Every time you read a Dharma book, hear a Dharma talk, who's ever speaking it is only speaking it to free you from obstructions. But if you don't understand that, and if you don't use it, it will be of no benefit. And then the final two lines. If you want to know the undying person in the hut, don't separate from the skin bag here and now. Skin bag is a Chinese way of talking about, Chinese Buddhist way of talking about the body. You probably never thought of your body and other people's body as a skin bag. I mean, but if you look at it, it makes sense. It's a bag. I mean, it's made of skin, and it's an enclosed thing, and it has stuff in it. So we could say, oh, right? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Rather, we're going around talking about bodies. We talked about skin bag. Oh, your skin bag's looking good today. How's my skin bag? Right, it would sort of change things a little bit, wouldn't it? Bodies is kind of a safe term. It doesn't really mean anything, does it? But skin bag is really much more accurate description, isn't it? I mean, that's really what we are. We're a bag of skin containing stuff that's, as we said the other day, is of not great value on the open market. But he says, if you want to know the undying person in the hut, the undying person in the hut, the undying person in this body that is mortal, the undying person in the hut. The hut is impermanent; it can be blown away at any time. Do you want to know the real person, the real you, that which doesn't die, that which has no definition, that which is beyond boundaries? If you want to know the undying person in the hut, do not separate from it. Is not found outside of this. That's what he's saying, right? It's not found somewhere else. Buddhism is not a transcendent teaching. We're not trying to transcend our physical reality. We're not trying to transcend the material reality at all. Buddhism says the opposite. Immanent in this material world, in this physical world, is the true nature of this world, is Buddha. It is not found outside. That is why it is said, mountain, trees, rivers are nothing other than my own mind. That is why it is said, this very body is the body of Buddha. Do not look for it elsewhere. The Buddha is not up here. That which looks at the Buddha, that which bows to the Buddha, is the Buddha. So we began several days ago. I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. After eating, I relax and enjoy a nap. When the hut was completed, fresh weeds appeared. Now it's been lived in, covered by weeds. The person in the hut lives here calmly, not stuck to inside, outside, or in between. Places worldly people live, he doesn't live. Realms worldly people love, she doesn't love. Though the hut is small, it includes the entire world. 10 feet square, an old man illumines forms and their nature. A Mahayana Bodhisattva trusts without doubt. The middling or lowly cannot help wondering, will this hut perish or not? Perishable or not, the original master is present, not dwelling south or north, east or west. Firmly based on steadiness, it cannot be surpassed. A shining window below the green pines, jade palaces, or vermilion towers cannot compare with it. Just sitting with head covered, all things are at rest. Thus, this mountain monk doesn't understand at all. Living here, he no longer wants to get free. Who would proudly arrange seats trying to entice guests? Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. The vast inconceivable source cannot be faced or turned away from. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction. Find grasses to build a hut and don't give up. Let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. Open your hands and walk, innocent. Thousands of words, myriad interpretations are only to free you from obstructions. If you want to know the undying person in the hut, don't separate from the skin bag here and now. Here and now means what? Right now. Begin right now. Don't begin when you get home. Don't begin after lunch. Begin right now. Right now, we see, we hear, we smell, we taste, we touch, we feel, we're aware. That's right now. Don't separate from that. Right now, begin. Living a life of mindfulness, living a life of awareness, living a life of presence, living a life of being. All the words that we endlessly spew. Now is the time to do it. Here and now. Right? If not now, when? So in this song of the Grassroots Hermitage, we have gotten complete instructions on how to lead an awakened life, on how to be whole. Is that clear? There's nothing been held back. The complete transmission has occurred. In a moment we'll have our closing ceremony, and then we will have lunch, and then we will depart. Right? Like a grass hut blown by the winds. Some grasses will blow this way, some grasses will blow that way. Right? And that's what each of us will go back home. Right? And a retreat will be a memory. Nothing but a memory, all your experiences, your ups and downs, your successes and failures, your good times and bad times, your easy times, your rough times, everything you've gone through the last 4 days, gone. Just memories. Right? That is the way things are. Like last night's dream. Gone. But what you will have wherever you go is this. This moment, fresh, alive, and you will have the choice, the challenge. How do I want to be in this moment? With every mind state that arises, how do I want to be with this? We began 4 days ago talking about the gatekeeper. Remember the gatekeeper. Hopefully over these 4 days, your gatekeeper perhaps understands his job, her job a little better. Will not be sleeping on the job so much. Not leaving the post as often as they've been leaving it. Your mindfulness will tell you what is arising. Then it's your choice. That's where your freedom is. Right? When you're the gatekeeper, when you're practicing mindfulness, you cannot control who comes up to the gate. Right? Your job begins at the gate. Your habit energy will arrive at the gate. Your freedom is what you do then. The stronger your gatekeeper is, the more aware, the more attentive, the more the gatekeeper knows his or her job, knows who to let in, who not to let in, what's good, what's not good, what's healthy, what's not healthy, what nurtures, what's toxic. Do a better job than in the past. So we come back to where we began. So good. I think everything's been said. It's all clear. We've had the good fortune that Taigen Dan Layton did a quite good translation of this song, this poem. All is good.